Hallelujah. What a God we serve. Mighty God. Our message this morning is just call for purpose. Called for purpose. Let us never forget the true purpose of this season. Christ came down from glory of heaven to become a man and endure all of the harshness of this world, and yet still went to the cross on our behalf. And Matthew 1:21 states, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, that statement right there should mean a whole lot to you and I, because we sin, don't we? And it's because of our nature. We are born sinners. And even when you get saved, because the flesh is not eradicated and we don't have our glorified bodies as of yet, we are still, there's a spiritual war going on inside of us. But I like what God said here. He said that Jesus was given, Jesus came to take away our sin. I am glad that I can dump my sin on Jesus. What about you? I mean, we got to say it just like it is. We got to say it like God said. God says that what he wants us to do, he wants us to give ourselves over to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be what God would have us to be, and we can have a destination change. That's what God wants. But we are called for a purpose. The Bible let us know that Jesus' purpose was coming to save the world. You know, a lot of people want to say that Christianity is a young religion and there's many more out there, and why should we pick up this? But you see, what they are really saying is that when Christians were called Christian at Antioch, they pick it up right there and say that it's new. But see, really what it is, if you want to use the word religion, if you want to use that, we like to use relationship. But here's the point. Say that is the seed religion, if you want to use that. Mean you go back to Genesis 3, when God promised that the seed of the woman, which is Jesus Christ of the virgin, that he would bruise Satan's head and Satan would bruise his feet. So now you got to, when you go back there in the garden, how many religions was it when there wasn't but two people? You follow what I'm saying? So don't you be hoodwinked with what people say, but we need to stay tuned to Jesus Christ. But see, in Galatians 4:4, we see that due date took place from that prophecy of Genesis he came for. So don't let nobody hoodwink you. Jesus, before the foundation of the world, decided that he knew man was going to sin, but he had a plan already in place before he built the foundation of the world to save men from their sin. So when you heard that in Matthew, that he came to do that, he came to do what he was purposed to do. Now, that would be fine if that was all that what was going on. But you know, look with me in Acts 26. God called Paul for a purpose. And in Acts 26, when he was before Agrippa and telling why he was going through what he was going through and given his Damascus Road experience, I'm going to pick it up to show you call with a purpose and keep it in mind why Christ came, and yet Christ called his apostles and called the men and women of God that they could spread the good news of his birth and the purpose of his birth. See, it's one thing to know that he was born, but it's another thing to know purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, We need to know purpose. It's just like, why did God save us and leave us here? He left us here for his own purpose. He's coming back, y'all. In 26, you can read from 12 on down, but I'm gonna pick it up at 16 after God had knocked them down. And in Acts 9, if you want to pick up the story, he says, "But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose." Underline or keep in your mind, for this purpose. God doesn't do anything without his own purpose. Now, here's the thing. You and I do not always understand what God is doing in our lives. We don't always understand what God is doing in the world. We understand as much as we can from the Word of God, but there are still some secret things that belong to God, and he revealed them only to who he will. You see, if we knew everything that God knew, it would make us God. It would make his thoughts our thoughts, his ways our thoughts. But didn't he say, your thoughts are not my thoughts, your ways are not my thoughts? There's a different inequality of our thoughts. Mine are greater than yours. Didn't he say that, y'all? Somebody help me out here. Amen. But I want to show you something as we look at this and look at God's purpose. But I want you to let ride with you purpose. But arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jews, the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentile to whom I now send you. You see, when God saved Paul, he saved him for a purpose, and he let him know in Acts 9, he said, I'm going to use you mightily. I'm going to use you for my purpose. You see, many a times when you are doing your own thing, you and I, we do our own thing many a times, what God permits us to do, but when you know that God has a purpose for your life, it should change your life. But see, not only do God have a purpose for your life, but Satan also have a purpose for your life. So it's like a tug of war going on. Galatians speaks about that there's a fight between the flesh and the spirit that's going on. When you would do good, evil is always present. You know, so God is saying, but Paul, I want to send you to do my bidding. Now, what did he want him to do? In verse 18, this is very important, because I'm going to tell you something. If God didn't reveal to me that I was blind, I wouldn't believe it. Now, you got to see, this blindness that he's speaking about is spiritual blindness. Now, how in the world do you feel blind when you're walking around, you got a good job, you got a good family, you're doing pretty good, you don't treat people bad, you're a pretty nice guy. Now, how in the world can I be blind? Doesn't God want me to do good things? I mean, I'm not perfect. Are you with me? But I don't understand this. How can someone that's being blessed, like you guys are, and you don't hurt anybody. You understand, when you hurt somebody, that's not right. You're not trying to take anything from anybody. You understand, if you steal from somebody, that's not right. But what is God talking about? And you see, the world system is set up that it can hoodwink or fool you or keep you blind. And the Bible speaks about all of that. So God comes right. God do not let us tell him that we are not blind. He's telling us that we are blind. And you know, you always want the one to tell you what's what that know more than you do. How much do God know compared to what we know? Now watch this. Now Paul is in this situation, but he's in it for Christ because he's a bond servant of Christ. He's preaching that gospel, but God had already sent him that he would preach to kings, Gentiles, and all those kind of things. So you can see the promises of God and the prophecy of God taking place even when he's before Agrippa. He's doing the things that God has called him to do. And here's an opportunity. He says, God is going to send me to open their eyes. You know, it's hard to open somebody's eyes when you think your eyes are not shut. Because we normally think in the physical and not in the spiritual. He's not talking about physical blindness here. He's talking about spiritual blindness. He says, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Hold it right there. God is saying, when you are spiritually blind, I have to give you your sight so you can turn. So you can see your condition, and then you can turn from your condition. Do you see this? He says, I'm sending you, Paul, with that gospel light or the gospel truth or the good news. That because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But he says, but if you see the process here, see when God speaks, sometimes we look at the reading and see the process, how God is saying what he's saying. God says, see, if you never get that person to see, you can never get them to turn. You see, if you don't know you're blind, you say, well, carry that mess or that gospel to somebody else. I already see. I must see. Look how good God has been to me without all that stuff you preaching and talking about. Y'all follow me now. But God says, I want to open their eyes. Why do you want to do that, God? In order to turn them. In other words, if I don't open their eyes, I can't turn them. And the reason why it's so hard giving the gospel to people. I remember when I was blind, but I'm looking. See, I'm in the house now, and I can see the exit sign. But outside of the house, I couldn't see it because I thought I already knew it. But what happened one day? God took the blinders off, and now I truly see. When I have to go to gravesides with babies and families and preach those funerals, and when I had to preach funerals of the senior saints and then the young teenagers over and over and over again and all of this kind of stuff. Preach my own family members after it has been murders and stuff like that, and preach my own father's funeral over and over again. God said, I gotta take the blindness off that they may see so I can turn them. God said, I got a purpose of letting them see. So many of us lean to our own understanding because we're real smart folk. We are used to pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. So you can't tell me what I don't already know. But when you come to God, you got to be like them little children. You got to come with a mindset wholly depending on God. What else did he say, Paul? He says, watch this. Can y'all see the screen? Oh, okay. That's a little bit bigger for my eyes. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. Watch this. And from the power of Satan to God. Wait a minute, God. I don't just want to read the word of God. What are you saying? What I'm saying, I am saying that blindness, that darkness, see, in the Bible, they use darkness for sin and spiritual blindness and light for righteousness and different things of that sort. He is saying not only that darkness, there is somebody that I allotted to have some power. His name is Satan. He says, now, here's the thing. You say, well, Lord, what's going on? God is saying, if you don't want to turn, don't turn. But I need to inform you what condition you are in. Now, I can help you. It's just like a drowning man. And you have a lifeline. And you reach it out to him. And he can grab it and you can pull him on in, but he refused to take hold so you can bring him to the peaceful shore. What you didn't realize, the guy that had jumped over, he jumped over the intent to commit suicide. Are you following me, somebody? So he did not want the lifeline. But see, God realized it's not that we want to commit suicide. We were born in sin under Adam. Now Christ came to take us out of that darkness and bring us to the light. But here's the thing. God set it up. He said, you got to show them, preach it, show it to them, and let them make their own decision. He said, but let me tell you something. Whether you make the decision to take the blind, get the blinders off your eyes, turn to God from Satan, it's going to be your business. But let me tell you something. Say what you want, you're not blind. But if you have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is the condition. God cannot lie. You and I can lie, but the Word of God cannot lie. Okay, that purpose, he says, watch this. Not only do he want to say, hey, Satan, you... I guess I like to use props, but Satan, you had me long enough. The blinders off. And I'm turning to God. See, God wants us to turn from something, but yet turn to something. You see, it's one thing, person, well, I've turned from Satan, but you never turned to God. How do you even know you even turned from Satan if you never turned unto God? You see, that was his purpose. He said that they may what? Receive forgiveness of what? Sins, not only that, and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in who? In me. Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute, God. Now, I'm not stupid. Since that's true, wait a minute. Are you saying, if I stay in darkness, it's nothing but misery and trouble and doom? But if I let you take the scales off my eyes and I turn from the power of Satan and darkness to you and I come over here, are you saying there's some goodies for me? Inheritance. What would I hear? You become heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ to the kingdom of God. Christ will prepare a home for you in glory where the streets are pure gold. Not that gold we see. Pure gold. Gates with pearls on them. No sin, no pain. The former things are gone. No more dominion power bill. Because you don't need his power for lights. The glory, the Shekinah glory of God will light our hearts up. He said, I got inheritance for you, but I can't give it to you while you're tied up in darkness. He said, the things I have for you is not in darkness, it's outside of darkness. So I came to take you out of darkness so you can get your inheritance. God said, I can't give it to you in this condition. I got to take you out of this condition, then give it to you. Is that what he's saying? That they may receive. You know, just the part that they may see forgiveness of sins, and you got all kind of sin, and you want to get that off of you. If just things like that, God, I'm coming. I'm asking you to save me. I want this off of me. Yeah, I'm guilty. I've done it. Help me with this, Lord. He said, this is how. He said, an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Let me tell you something else, too. You see that last part? He says, when you come out, you will get your inheritance. Some people already got theirs. ahead of you. Somebody got saved ahead of you. Am I right about it? And he's telling you what they got, what they have. And he said, when you come out, you will receive the same thing, your inheritance among those who are present tense, who are sanctified by faith. There it is too, in me. Here's another thing. I can't look for somebody else to save me, some other God, some other religion. But I got to look to the person, Jesus Christ. Because all of the benefits that I'm to receive once I come out of blindness and even the forgiveness of sin, it's in me. Anybody with me? I don't need but one person with me. I don't have to have a whole group. Because you weren't there when I got saved. It's over 30-some years ago. Some of y'all weren't even born. And I was not in church. God came down to the air station to get me. Because you wouldn't go to church. He came down there at a Bible study. And I went over there to make fun and said, look, you know, I got some questions. And I got hit. See, when you get hit and you don't consider yourself stupid, you can read, you can understand. I said, wait a minute. They must set me up over here for all have sinned. That got me. Because I thought when I came over there, they're going to jump all over me and all that. You know, I'm going to put them in defense. All means everybody around this table. So I couldn't mess with that. I had to wait to something else. But then it says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, and that he'll forgive. So here's the thing. Paul says, you know what? God called me with a purpose to cut the spiritual light on to those who were captive in darkness. Now I want to show you something else too. Go to, so we can see what God says about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So Lord, what are you talking about? Let's see some of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And you can read right on down from 1 to 6 if you want to. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What did I say? 1 Corinthians? Okay. All right. See, when you got your Bible like that, y'all can hold me to the gun. Okay. All right. Let me read this. I'm going to start at 1 and read down to where I want to go. Therefore, since we have this ministry, Paul said, I got this gospel ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. See, got to handle the word of God, but you got to rightly handle it. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But watch this now. But even if our gospel is veiled, can't see it, it is veiled to those who are perishing. You need to highlight that too. Whether you say, I can see, I don't want that stuff, man, later for that kind of stuff. You know, I'm going to take my chances. It ain't about in him. God says, the group that say that, God said they are perishing. See, that the gospel is hid from them. They don't have the gospel in their hearts. They are perishing. Now, I got to go back to God. How can I get around everything you say in the word of God? Because every time I look at another verse, you're saying something else. Comparing scripture with scripture, verse with verse. You're saying something else, and it all comes together. Now, watch this now. Let's read on. Whose minds, the what? God of this age. You know, his name is Satan. All right? Has blinded who do not believe. So if you walk away and say, I don't believe that stuff, a little later for that, he says, okay, you're still blinded because you do not believe. See, you can see once you receive Christ because God have opened up your eyes that you can see your condition and that your sins could be forgiven and you came out of that, got your inheritance with those other folk who came out ahead of you. He said, but if you stay in there, he said, I know who you are too. You aren't fooling me. You are those that Satan have blind. Do you see it? Watch this, watch this. He said, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. He said, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commended light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So what I did, I took you over to 1 Corinthians that you can see God is still speaking about who's doing the blinding. And so when we go back over to Acts, and we're going to finish right here over in Acts, he says, once we do this to receive this in me, I guess I've already finished that. But you know, I'm not going to keep you long. We saw that Matthew 1 and 21 states the purpose of Christ's coming. We see Galatians tells us why it's so Second Corinthians tells us why it's so important to come out from this darkness. You see, you know, some of us want our inheritance, want our forgiveness, and want to stay in the darkness. You know, I could tell you, or somebody else could tell you, you could get it that way because we want to appease you. But all we're doing is just lying to you. It's not our inheritance to give to you. It belongs to God. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You see, the best present that came at that Christmas time, and we don't know the exact date, but I don't think God's going to get mad with us with that because we know it happened, didn't hang around under the tree, but he hung on the tree. The best present to this world came not under the tree, came and died on the tree. He became that curse that we could be free. He says, I'll die for you, that you don't have to die the second time. One thing that helped me when I gave my life to the Lord and still didn't know much, but something that stuck with me, hit me early. I never knew or heard about, because I didn't go to church, okay? We didn't go to church, so I didn't know a lot of church things when I got saved. But I had never heard about a second death. You know, when people talk about dying, I say Christian die, old die, young die, everybody die. And I thought that was smart. But nobody told me about a second death. Everybody don't die a second death. I never heard that. Just death is death. But I didn't know there was a physical and a spiritual. But he came. Now I got a question to ask. Like I said, I won't keep you long. 32 years ago, the same message came to me. And I was offered my inheritance among those who had been saved ahead of me. God offered me the present, a gift of eternal life. It's called a gift, free gift too. He said, Rich, do you want to get saved? If you don't get saved, you'll stay blind. you'll stay under the power of Satan, according to Scripture. According to Scripture. Didn't Paul say that? According to the Word of God. But if you let this word, this gospel, this message open your eyes, you can come from under, stand up. You can come from under darkness and Satan, and you can come over here, come over here. And I forgive you of your sins. That's Jesus Christ now. And I give you your inheritance among the rest of the saints. Now, is anybody in the house? You haven't got yours yet. But you heard it today in a clear, concise way, with no mistake. Do you want to come? There's still room. Will you come or will you stay where you are? Is there one person that would say, Jesus, before you call me home, I'm going to get that right. Jesus, we know we celebrate your birthday. I'm going to get a new birthday, a new birth. He said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Is there one person in the house? Now, let me tell you something. You know, we think a lot of times, and I think some people don't want to get saved. I don't want to change my life, and I like the life that I'm living. First thing you need to do is get born again. But you're never born an adult. You do not have adult children. They grow to be an adult. They're born babies. That means a baby, you have to clean the baby. You have to give the baby milk. You have to really take care of that baby so the baby can grow. All God is asking you, if you never had a new birth, if you never became a new man or a new woman, and that's 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. God says only the new creation can receive this inheritance. Is there one person? Amen. All right. Amen. Remember this season that Jesus paid it all. And the love that he has for you is far greater than mama's love, daddy's love, anybody else. So if you want your inheritance, you gotta come to Jesus. Thank you for your time. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for just giving us a word from your word. We thank you, Lord, from the songs of Zion that your people sung so graciously. And I pray, Father God, as we celebrate the birthday of Sister Holmes and her family, that they would just continue to love one another and endeavor to keep the unity. Because we don't know how long we have to be with one another. Every new year, somebody is missing. But Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your long suffering. We bless your name, sir. Amen. At this time, the ushers, you come, Brother Newt.
As we're preparing to close out, we're going to receive our offering. As we said, our service has been kind of turned around. We'll have the men, we ask the men to come up if they're still in here to sing while we prepare to usher as the offering is being taken up. We ask that you give as God puts on your heart to give. Here at New Berean, we only receive one offering. We know that all blessings come from God. Be mindful that we are still receiving money for our van drive as we're trying to purchase another van, as our other one is almost 20 years old. Men, come forth while we are preparing. We'll have the chairman of our trustee board to speak while we're preparing. And once the ushers come forth, they'll ask that everyone will stand. Amen. After which we'll have Pastor come forth and open the doors of the church. If there's anyone who'd like to join or is looking for a church home or would like to speak with the pastor afterwards, we'll do that immediately following the offering.
Good morning, saints. We all know the reason for the season, and everybody at some point in time will be tempted. And offering time is a specific temptation. And we've seen it, as Pastor said, according to the scriptures, even our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in his giving. And I just want to read a scripture, real quick scripture. Matthew 12, verse 13. I'm going to read four passages. And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they said unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? We've seen weeks before Black Friday, before Thanksgiving and stuff like that, folks were standing in line at the stores. They weren't standing in the line in the church doors, but standing at the stores in tents, waiting till the doors open. Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, saying it to them, Christ knows our heart. Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it. And they bought it. The stores today, they get these Black Friday sales. Why can't they do it throughout the whole year? Why not? Why just at this season, at this time, now? And he said unto them, whose is this image and subscription? And they said unto him, Caesar. And Jesus, all knowing, answered, said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and render unto God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. Saints, render unto God today what's his. Then go out to your Walmart, to your Best Buys, and render to them what's theirs. Thank you.
Congregation, please stand. Our ushers will lead you forth from the back to the front. I don't know what's waiting on me in the future. I just don't know. I don't know what I'll be doing 10 years from now. I just don't know, but I believe that I'll be singing or teaching God's holy word. Oh, it's in my heart.
It's in my heart, yes, to serve the Lord.
Said it's in my heart.
It's in my heart,
yes, it is,
to serve the Lord.
I'll be serving the Lord. Sometimes my road gets dark and dreary. I can hardly find my way. Sometimes my burdens get so heavy until I can't stop having sleepless nights and lonely days. But I believe if I keep holding on, God is gonna comfort me and keep me strong. 'Cause it's in my heart.
It's in my heart, yes, to serve the Lord.
Said it's in my heart.
It's in my heart,
yes, it is,
to serve the Lord.
It's in my heart.
It's in my heart,
yes, it is,
to serve the Lord.
I'll be
serving the Lord.
Listen, I've been singing for a long, long time. I'm not gonna give up, 'cause I got a made up mind. I've been lied on, mistreated by my so-called friends. But if I had another chance, I'd do it all again. It's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Oh, yes.
To serve the Lord.
Set it down in my heart.
It's in my heart. Oh, to serve the Lord.
It's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is.
To serve the Lord.
I'll be serving the Lord. Let us stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, thanking you again for what was said and what was done in your service. We ask and pray that you bless the use of our offering, dear Lord, that was given unto you, that it be used wisely and to the glory of your name. These and all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. All things come of thee, O Lord,
and of thine own as we give of thee.
Amen. Amen. At this time, as we close, I'm going to ask Pastor to come back around in the front and open up the doors of the church if there's anyone who'd like to join or be a candidate for membership, and then we're going to close out. Thank you for your patience. Okay.
Amen. If we have any with us today that you don't have a church home and God have placed New Berean Baptist on your heart, if that's where you are, we want to give you that opportunity to come and join with us. Help us to be what God would have us to be. If there's some missing pieces to our church, some things that we need or whatever, it may be you. You may be that part of the puzzle we don't have to make the whole picture that God would have us to be. But if that's where you are, you feel free to come. If not, you just continue where you are and be blessed of the Lord, and thank you for coming today. Let us all stand. Hallelujah. Praise you, the Lord. Brother William, will you come? I want you to come and close us in a prayer. Come in. We're so glad to have you back. It's an answer to prayer. So a lot of folk don't know where you've been. Tell them a little something about where you've been and what went on. And I would pray for you. You came. You're back now. And you close.